Merry Christmas, Adam and Alex. Welcome back once again. What were your favorite gifts you got for Christmas this year?
More airtime with my favorite friends.
Hey.
In New Zealand. What a blessing.
Wonder who gifted you that one. It's funny because we didn't really plan to do, I feel like the last time we did two back-to-back Mecha Godzilla episodes with you guys, it was
Christmas.
It was like the exact same time last year.
Yeah,
it was. And we haven't planned it out. It's just been happy accidents for how all these movies take place. So Merry Christmas to everyone. You guys have like a real nice winter Christmas over there, right? Snow falling.
Yeah.
The dream.
We wish.
Depends where you are in the UK. Like if you're up north, yeah, but we're down south, so
yeah,
true.
You get maybe a sleety road.
Yeah, we'll have a windy, icy Christmas.
See, you're missing out on the Christmas barbecues at the beach.
Yeah.
You haven't had a Christmas until you've had a barbecue at the beach.
Have you guys had a sausage sizzle before? Have you? Like a nice barbecue?
Not for a while. I haven't had a good barbecue in a while.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favourite things to do as well as a barbecue, like a good barbecue. We just don't have the weather for it here.
Yeah.
Which is really sad. What's your like go-to item on a barbecue?
Oh.
Go-to item?
That's probably like a garlic-filled mushroom, you know, garlic and cheese-filled mushroom.
Jayshra and I have never been into barbecuing much ourselves.
Yeah.
We have family members who are. So we're probably quite low on the...
No, I feel like...
On the list of people who can speak about this.
A Christmas mainstay for us at our grandparents.
Give us a rundown of the Christmas.
We have just an amazing Christmas lunch. My mum, our mum, makes an amazing potato salad. That's just the best thing in the world.
Potato salad. Oh,
but my favorite is... My granddad, our granddad, like cooks up ham on the barbecue, slices of ham and slices of pineapple.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you just have ham and pineapple that's been barbecued and it's amazing.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
That's what we've been eating.
Bit of barbecue sauce.
That sounds a little controversial though, like sort of a pineapple pizza situation. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm feeling that one.
The barbecue community don't approve.
I'm vehemently against pineapple on pizza, but pineapple on steak and ham? Beautiful. Beauty.
Okay, maybe. I was going to say, so is that like, that's festive for you guys? Is like
That's festive.
That's festive.
Some ham.
That's wild. Not like
some pineapple. So not potato like roast, salad.
Not like a roast turkey. Some Brussels sprouts.
No,
Yorkshire puds.
Yorkshire pudding.
No, what's a Yorkshire pudding?
Got to have a Yorkshire pudding and gravy. Oh, how do you describe a Yorkshire pudding?
I think sweet or savory. We do have knockoff Yorkshire puddings over here, which are like real. They're like frozen bread with a little bit of air in them that you put gravy on.
What are you on about?
A little bit of what in them?
Oh, no,
ear.
I get what you're talking
like,
about.
They've got like a bubble of ear inside.
If you said hair, I was like, oh my gosh.
A little bubble of hair.
They're like a weird kind of pastry type thing. They're quite hard to describe.
Baked fluffy pastry. So
yeah.
It's like, it's not hard, but crispy on the outside because it's baked. It's made with like eggs, wheat, flour, milk. And so it's kind of crispy on the outside because you cook them, they rise themselves in the oven. They make really odd, peculiar shapes, but they're soft on the inside. And they're not too thick on the inside. It's very like light. And therefore, they kind of make a good base of things. Like sometimes, one of my favorite things is making a roast dinner inside a giant Yorkshire pudding, which is controversial in itself.
In a pudding?
It's like a boat. That's just mental though. Like that's not a tradition. That's,
hey,
yes.
Add some pineapple on there.
It's mental.
Whew.
Oh no. No.
So standard
Christmas dinner is you got your roast potatoes, your crispy roasties.
Yes.
You've got your whatever selection of meat you want. That's really up to traditionally turkey, but you can kind of have whatever you want, depending on household.
Wait, so you have turkey for Christmas and Thanksgiving? Oh, you don't do Thanksgiving.
We
do
don't do Thanksgiving.
No, we don't do Thanksgiving.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
We're not very thankful. We just have Christmas. Then you have vegetables. So you've got carrots, sometimes peas.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts. That's an odd choice.
Brussels sprouts for Christmas.
And then usually you will have cauliflower, but not on its own. You have something called cauliflower cheese, which is like basically cauliflower with like a just a creamy, cheesy sauce, and then often baked at the end of the process with cheese on top of that.
We've had
so that goes on.
That's good. Yeah, we have that over here.
I only recently discovered like Thanksgiving is kind of a similar thing in America with like what we have as Christmas dinner, but you have like weird shit on it. They've taken the Christmas dinner, and they've gone, let's just make it like weirder. Like they'll put mac and cheese on it, and I'm like, why is that there?
I don't get that.
Or some sort of jam. It's like, fellas, it's a very savoury meal.
Yeah, sometimes with the stuffings, they get really adventurous.
No, you just need stuffing.
Turducken thing. It's like a turkey horrendous. Stuffed in a duck, stuffed in a chicken, or whatever variation. Why would you do that?
Mental.
Why? So now that all the American listeners have left the episode, we can get on. Hey, we can.
Sorry, guys.
Let's cook her up.
We've got all the people who love good food listening now.
There's nothing worse than the British, like, making fun of Americans, is it, on a podcast, and they can't even defend themselves.
Especially over food, because we, like, notoriously have, like, the worst
food. Worst cuisine.
It's so, for real.
We do.
Boiled veg. We're, like, out and here. Potatoes. We're out here eating, like, Charlie in the chocolate factory.
Alex Knox, Adam Baston.
Hello.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
We're here with your favorite co-hosts, Micah Drake and Jaisha Drake.
Yeah, I am Jaisha. Hello.
But you two are our favorite co-hosts.
You
well.
Are. That so is very true.
Podzilla's only here because the final draft put us on the map initially.
So true.
So it's so good to have you back, guys. We do hope everyone listening has had a great Christmas.
Of course.
This is coming out right after Christmas, right before New Year's. So I appreciate you spending this festive season with us. But yeah, we're going to be talking about Godzilla Tokyo SOS, which is part of the Kiryu Saga duology, coming off the back of Godzilla against Mechagodzilla last episode. And this is the last like Mechagodzilla heavy movie, I feel. He does show up a few more times in some other films later down the track.
I don't believe
it. The main next, like, really the only next one where there's a big on duel is Godzilla X Kong?
Versus Kong. Yeah.
Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah. We showed up in the third
movie's
act.
About Kong. It's not really about Mechagodzilla. We'll probably get your guys' input on that.
Yeah.
It's only right, isn't it, really?
Yeah. This is definitely not the end of Podzilla and Final Draft, you guys being our Mecha experts. But this is a big occasion. This is the second to last Godzilla movie in the whole Millennium era. So this is a big one for us. We're nearly close to closing the Millennium movies off. But, I mean, without further ado, did you want to take us into Godzilla Tokyo SOS, Adam?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Here we are. The self-defense force are back at it again with brand new merch and a new plan. Our blessed Mothra has other ideas and warns our protagonists against the use of Mechagodzilla. Do not disturb the dead in a return with the fairies. A short synopsis, shocker, but this story is anything but short. Jam-packed with returning characters and a deeper storyline. With enough action to scare the Mothra worms back into their egg. Oh yeah, I put that they look at the croissant worms. It was my initial draft of that. Which is what I noted as they look like in the scene. You're welcome. I don't know what you got from that.
No, that was perfect. That was the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that was the movie.
Just end it there. I mean,
let's wrap it up, boys. Come on.
I don't know if that synopsis gives it away, but we might not be very familiar with the Mothra lore.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm glad you guys were able to experience these two Mothra lava and all the glory.
Yes.
Well, what did you think of Mothra? Is this actually the first time either of you have seen Mothra in a film?
Shamefully so, yes.
Hey, I'll say it. I know how much this boy means to you. I know you've hyped Mothra up so much.
This boy.
Calling the queen of a monster is a boy. Unbelievable.
Oh, I mean, she's beautiful. She's wonderful. And she's our favorite. And
you said
good start.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of screamed like an American Marvel screening when Mothra showed up because it was like, I just got it.
Yeah.
I just got what it was. And I was yes. like, yes. Like, I knew what was coming. And I've never seen Mothra before, and I just know how big it is for you guys.
Yeah.
So I was ready to understand the you know, the real reason behind such a beloved character on your show. But yeah, interesting though. Interesting monster, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah.
We had a few eyebrow raises.
I didn't realize there was so much baggage that came with Mothra. You don't just get Mothra, you get fairies, you get
babies,
you get croissant worm babies.
Yeah.
What did you two think of the showbiz and the two little
the Mothra theme song? First off,
I know it's the first time I got to see it in live action. I usually hear your renditions of it.
That's before the real thing. Oh no!
So epic.
Yeah, which was the better version?
I can't choose.
We're a bit biased there, aren't we, really?
It was just so straight, like, is it? I haven't seen the... So, yeah, shamefully, I haven't really seen the original Mothra, which this film ties into very heavily.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. It was a surprise.
Is it like that in the original, where it's just like, by the way, there's these two fairies? Or is there more world-building associated with it? I don't know.
There's a little bit more world building. So the two fairies are from Infant Island, which does show up in this film a little bit. And they kind of act as like the protectors of not only the island, but also of the wider world and by the end of the film. And Mothra is known to be, queen of the monsters, protector of the earth. In most of the movies where she's in, she is the... almost the other side of the coin to Godzilla, where Godzilla is the cause of so much destruction and rampaging through the cities. Mothra is almost always on the side of the human characters. That's right.
Yeah, there is a bit more like backstory in the original Mothra movie. It's about like a group of people that gets like stuck on an island, and there's all these vampiric plants and these little people they discover, but... that's pretty much it. Yeah, Mothra is kind of the source of life, cares for the world, whereas Godzilla tries to just destroy everything. But I really didn't expect it, because I've never seen Tokyo SOS before. I think this was the only Millennium Godzilla movie I'd never seen. So right off the back, when we've got flashbacks to Mothra and we have a human character from the Mothra movie showing up, there was Hiroshi Koizumi as Shinichi Chujo from the original Mothra, and he's all old now. It's kind of a surprise. It's a pleasant one. I didn't expect to see him again.
You must have been in your element. Like, I was, honestly, like, I was watching it and I was like, he's going to lose his mind.
Yeah. Man,
this
I couldn't
like
believe
first,
it.
First couple minutes in, we went straight into it.
It's great. I didn't even know that Mothra was in this movie until, last time we recorded an episode.
Yeah.
So this is a pleasant, pleasant surprise. Especially later on when you have the two lava coming in as well. It's a dream come true.
Yeah. It's a big movie. Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, Kiryu's back, and then we have Mothra as well.
What did you guys think of this movie overall, kind of coming off just watching Godzilla against Mechagodzilla straight into this? Did you find like it was its own thing? It was good?
It was its own thing.
Cool.
But it was messier.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite that, however, I think the third act and how it all comes together at the end is one of the best examples of like, in the films that we've watched, of like everything in a film coming together in a satisfying ending. I'm not quite sure why I think that. I just kind of felt that. I haven't quite figured it out yet, to be quite honest with you. It's still a bit fresh.
No, I love it.
I remember, but I just do remember like watching it and feeling like this was kind of like the better
kind of
ending.
Kind of finale. Yeah.
In terms of how I felt. But I was just sat there like, why do I like it? Mm. Why do I like it? Why is that the case? Is it Alex crying? I can hear him wheezing. He loves it when I do this. But yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't as good though as the one that we'd watched prior. And I think it's just because it kind of got a bit caught. It tripped over itself a bit with its own logic. I understand they wanted to do things a bit differently, and I respect them for that. And I think this rightfully does stand as like its own thing. But I just didn't find it as, I don't know, it didn't have as much to like logically sink my teeth into. I didn't believe it as much.
Yeah.
I was like, why are we doing this again kind of thing? If some felt repetitive and also some just felt new but kind of unnecessary.
Hmm.
Don't know. And just found like the main character's not as compelling. But just just a mixed feeling about it. There's some things I really liked and some...
A bit of
like
magic in the ending. Yeah. No, I get that.
Yeah. A little bit of magic in the third act.
Yeah.
So I do have a lot of nice things to say about it, but obviously I'll move to Alex now. But yeah, it was a bit of a mix for me, to be honest. Whereas the other one was kind of like a home run on, I liked really everything about it.
Mm.
Yeah. This film, I wasn't as keen on it. I think, you know, I don't understand a lot of the Mothra stuff, so that was like,
yeah,
taking me back a bit. And you know, I felt like I was in a bit of a fever dream at times with some of those elements. I think the issue with this one is that it's not as focused as the previous film we've covered. I feel like it was just going for a bit too much and nothing really got a lot of time to shine. Even Mechagodzilla feels less prominent in this one, kind of being pushed back to the final act. And we're being given like a whole new cast to follow, which just seems strange to me.
Yeah, that was really
on top of like returning to these old Mothra characters that, if you are familiar with them, maybe that you get more out of it, but for me they didn't feel super developed and fleshed out. So it was more of a mixed bag. I really liked Mothra though, like despite adjusting to the weirder side of that character, like I really do enjoy the role that character plays, and why it creates like an interesting dynamic to like the Godzilla Mechagodzilla, I don't know, triangle.
Yeah,
and it was interesting. But yeah, I don't know, it definitely felt less focused, and it felt like there was elements of it as well that felt like just kind of repetitions of what we had just seen before. So maybe watching them back to back wasn't like the best way of viewing them. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm curious to see what you guys think about it.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same. The part that just bewildered me was the human plot in this one, because we had Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, which gave us Akane, and she had a really great arc, and I feel like we were really rooting for her, especially near the end. And then this movie starts off and she appears in it, and she's just part of this group that's being shipped off to the US to learn like battle training from the US,
yeah,
instead of staying to pilot Mechagodzilla. And then we're just introduced to this whole new crew. None of them I really cared about. We have this new mechanic, Yoshito Chujo, and he kind of has a similar arc to Akane from the past one as well, where none of the team likes him, and then he has to prove himself, and then everyone's for him at the end.
And it was definitely just felt like a rehash, especially because like the tone just feels very similar to Against Mechagodzilla, the landscapes. It just feels like that movie with a little bit of a different twist, which I would have appreciated them doing something a bit different.
You know, you're echoing my thoughts there. And I think the even more bewildering part for me is, we mentioned it last episode as well, but Masaki Tezuka, this is his third movie in the Godzilla franchise. He did Against Mechagodzilla before this and Versus Megaguirus before that.
He also was assistant director on Rebirth of Mothra 2 and 3. So that probably explains why he wanted to put Mothra into this one.
Good movies. Go check them out. You'll be very surprised. But we mentioned last episode that Against Mechagodzilla was kind of a rehash of a lot of the themes and storytelling, almost play by play, the same story arcs that we saw in Versus Megaguirus, how we had our female lead, a pilot who, you know, she was brought down on her rank because of something that happened, and she spends the movie trying to regain her reputation back. And then this movie it's like doing that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by this point, we're like, at least give us a consistent character.
Yeah.
So straight from the start, we kind of already know what's going to happen to our main man. And for me, at least, that left the only real surprising parts of the movie for me being the monsters themselves, as well as the Shobujin. And the parts of the story that were more Mothra-related, but
yeah,
a lot of the Mechagodzilla pilot stuff just really fell flat for me.
Even the Mothra stuff, though, like, I feel like they were just playing through the greatest hits of Mothra, right? Like, Mothra's Shobujin show up. They sing the song.
They make the icon.
Someone makes the icon. I don't know how the kid dragged so many discs out and made this huge Mothra symbol.
That was mental, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was crazy. And then Mothra dies, and then two larvae come out of the egg.
There has been in the Showa movies, I'm not sure if it was, I think it was Mothra versus Godzilla in the Showa era, but we have seen a Mothra movie before where an egg is hatched and two Mothra larvae have come out of it. So again, that's another one of those beats that we have absolutely seen before, one of the greatest hits.
Yeah, it was all just very familiar. But I did find a little bit of magic in there, just like you, Adam. Like, I loved Mothra. Yes. I think this is the best she's ever looked. She's so fluffy. I don't know how I felt about the little like hairs sticking off the top of the wings. But overall, I loved Mothra. I loved her theme coming into it all. And I think it was interesting to introduce a third monster into the triangle. It was just a bit strange, even the way they do it, because Mothra shows up and she's kind of like just holding the world hostage. She's like, if you don't return Mechagodzilla and those bones to the sea, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you all.
Yeah.
But then if you
does she say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to destroy the world if they don't return the bones.
It's exactly what I said to Alex, right? Because I was like, I'd heard all the stuff about Mothra. Like, she's like a saint and she's going to like, she's like the good guy. Yeah. And I just kind of like, I was watching the TV and I just went, just like stared at Alex like, Alex, and you think what I'm thinking? He's like, yeah, she's just saying she's going to destroy the world. Like, isn't she like the good one?
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's a bit weird.
I don't know how this is serving people intro. Or anything. But...
it's a weird starting off point. Imagine your like grandfather comes to you and he's like, many years ago, I went to this island and there was a big moth and now she's back and we've got to return the bones. She's going to kill us all if we don't return the bones.
Granddad, you're going in home.
You're going home. Yeah.
That is the... you say some wild things, but that's really... Yeah, that's really took the biscuit. He's done now, isn't he? Poor guy.
But yeah, I did love... I think the standout for me was the monster stuff. Again, Mothra looked amazing. The Mothra versus Godzilla fight we get early on is pretty cool. Mothra is getting like her legs ripped off by Godzilla.
Dying because she's losing her scales.
Yeah. She gets owned, but it was an engaging fight. And again, all the Mechagodzilla and Godzilla stuff later on. I do love the continuity and the fact that like Godzilla's chest is still all munted up from his last battle against Kiryu. I love Mechagodzilla showing up with all his new gadgets and just going crazy stabbing Godzilla.
Yeah,
I did love the fights. I thought the fights were very fun.
I'll throw it to you guys. There were a lot of monsters this time. We had Godzilla. Kiryu, I don't know if he has a special name. Kiryu Mark II?
Maybe.
Maybe. We had Mothra. We had the Mothra lava. Was there any that stood out to you in particular this time?
You are forgetting about one standout monster as well. Camobius? Camobus? Camibus?
Camibus.
Camibus, the giant spiked turtle from the hit movie Space Amoeba that shows up just as a carcass in this one.
Yeah, we'll talk about Camibus.
Yeah.
Sorry, I completely forgot about that. When a
yeah.
When a massive corpse is like washed up in the ocean. They're like,
oh crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. There's a giant turtle.
Wow, look at that.
They just kind of went there to go, yep, that's what it is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something's killing giant turtles.
Glad that added to the plot.
Yeah, Mothra was definitely a standout for me. She did look very cool. Again, they're still doing a good job of like blending the effects where like you can sell sometimes. I don't know how they do Mothra. I'm guessing it's not a guy in a suit. It's probably more of a puppet, right? But blending that with like the CG and stuff. And yeah, she looks really cool. And seeing how she can go toe-to-toe with Godzilla was interesting as well, seeing that for the first time. Using her little dust attack or whatever.
The dust attack. Yeah.
Yeah. It was quite interesting. We were very much fans of the string spray.
Yeah.
That was I just didn't get what was going on.
All the silk. Yeah.
The silly string. They're making a cocoon, Adam.
Yeah. I knew that. Well, because I looked at them crawling in, and they looked in a lot of discomfort because, you know, they seem like they don't have any, like, legs. It's just that they're going against concrete.
Yeah.
I was like, that hurts, obviously. And, like, what are you going to do when you get there? Because, like, surely one of them, if not, you know, Mechagodzilla or Godzilla, they're just going to go, you step on them.
Yeah.
And it's game over then, because Mothra's already incinerated herself.
Yeah.
Which is a dumb move.
How about that?
That was wild.
Dumb move.
Her protecting herself, protecting the lava, and bursting into flames.
Both of our faces was just like
bursting into flames.
We're just both horrified.
Yeah.
At that, it was just like, why? I know, obviously protecting lava, or whatever. I don't know, but like that is a bad move, like strategically.
Adam, she was weak because of her scales. She was going to die anyway.
So true.
But all they can do is just shoot webs.
Yeah, and she's asking them to get rid of Mechagodzilla because she's this big, powerful creature that'll protect them against Godzilla. First time she goes toe-to-toe, she's gone.
She whiffs it.
She is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely fumbles it.
Not very convincing. Then she leaves behind her babies.
I thought the babies were going to like transform or something. I was going to bring this up in the last episode. You guys have kind of like rotted my brain with the battle line game because I'm used to the Mothra larva is transforming. So I was like, yeah. Oh, that's what they do. They don't even know. They're going to turn into big Mothras, and that just didn't happen.
Imagine that final form turns into two more Mothras.
Yeah, and I thought it would be like a team up.
Like, we've definitely had Mothra cocooning and turning into her Imago form, but we've also equally just really weirdly had whole Godzilla movies when it's just a lava, and that's like Mothra in the movie is just looking like a croissant the whole time.
I think there's more movies where there's the lava form than the actual.
Yeah, it seems really like it.
Butterfly moth form.
So it's so funny. Almost their own character that people are standing up and yelling and cheering for when these larvae come out of the egg.
I love Mothra here, though. The last time we saw her was just a few episodes ago. She was in this millennium era in GMK.
Yeah.
Giant Monsters All Out Attack. And we didn't like her that much in that movie because it seems like she just kind of showed up. She was just there for the monster value. She was done fully CGI and didn't look fantastic. But in this movie, like, she's probably my favorite part of this movie, just how fluffy she is. And yeah, this is one of those times where there's just such a beautiful blend of actual practical models and usage of effects, and then CGI on top of that. I'm roaring in my seat.
I'm clapping my hands for Mothra. Mm-hmm. I know that she kind of wants to destroy the world in this one, but I'd support her doing it.
And I'm just thinking about back about it, because all the monsters get time to shine, because I mentioned Kiryu, but he has like a drill arm in this, right? At the end, he's like drilling into Godzilla.
Yeah.
He's got some cool abilities.
Oh, yeah. That was probably like the coolest part. It was just like the confirmation, really, that like they'd kind of advanced Mechagodzilla in a way that is just like definitely damning, because it kind of felt like they were on equal ground still. It was like, we're repairing him and it's like a huge job. No added features, though. Still the same. Yeah. Obviously, like, they couldn't get the Mega Diamond or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
His scar was pretty cool, right?
It was nice seeing the scar this time.
His eyes don't turn red, and instead he just gets this red scar, dimmed out eye. Pretty cool.
Mm.
Yeah, I like how much more weathered he looks in this one as well. Like, Mechagodzilla, Kiryu has this real gunmetal look to him. A few changes as well, but that last form where he has his eye blown out, really iconic look for him.
Mm. And I guess while we're on the topic of monsters again, guys, I might have a little game, a returning game.
Oh, no. Oh my God.
No way.
Wait, guys, wait, we're interested. Doctor Who or Godzilla?
This is what I wish for Christmas.
Hey, there you go. You got your Christmas wish. Yeah, I'm excited to see how you guys measure up in this one. Adam, I'm counting on you. I have a good feeling.
I'm actually nervous. I genuinely am. This is a lot of a build up to this.
I'm going to keep score this time as well.
Okay, that's good. We get a definitive winner this time around. First one's easy as, guys. Star Whale.
Oh, easy.
Oh, we all know this one.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who?
It was Matt Smith.
The Beast
episode
Below?
Series 5, episode 2.
Alex is struggling to remember right now.
Go into the Mind Palace. Yeah, Series 5, Episode 2. It was the first one that he took Amy Pond to.
This is the Beast Below, right?
Sorry.
This is what the people who turn their heads around, the Smilers.
My Siri just opened up.
Oh, funny.
Oh, you want to search for Doctor Who? No. I'm talking and it just muted all of you guys.
Adam, you can confirm. This is the one with the Smilers?
Oh, yeah. Terrifying. Yeah. Those were very scary. But yeah, second episode in, which is quite a heavy one for like Matt to do, like on a second episode.
That's crazy. Can you confirm this, Alex?
I don't remember this episode at all, but Adam seems so sure. It must be.
Everyone's going Doctor Who?
It's very Godzilla-like. Like, it's a creature that has been forced for years to carry London through space. And they torture it to keep it going. And you can choose whether or not to forget.
Pretty much a kaiju.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to scream if it's not.
Please don't.
It is Doctor Who, of course, guys.
I almost passed out.
Spot on, even remembering it was Amy's first proper episode that the Doctor brought her into.
Thank you.
Yeah, amazing. It's a huge whale-like creature floating through space. Okay, second up, we've got Terra Berserker. Terra Berserker.
No,
guys.
That's definitely Godzilla, I think.
I feel like that's a God. Yeah, that sounds like a Godzilla type name.
I'll go Godzilla as well.
Yeah.
Guys, this is.
Come on.
Doctor Who.
What?
The Terra Berserker. It's a race of aliens that attend the Festival of Offerings in the 11th Doctor adventure, The Rings of Akkatan.
No.
Oh my God. The one where that girl sings to the sun.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I remember this episode.
The Terra Berserker.
I didn't know that was what it was called.
There you go.
Damn.
Caught you out. It's probably not even mentioned in the episode, but hey.
Again, Matt Smith. Matt Smith here is a bit foggy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Literally just named an episode by number.
Yeah.
It's a bit foggy, but just believe.
A little rusty.
A little rusty.
The next one up, we've got Sycorax. Sycorax.
That's Doctor Who.
I can tell you this one.
Oh, Alex can tell us.
I can tell you this one. It's
Doctor Who.
It's Doctor Who. It's from David Tennant's first episode on the Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. They chop his hand off.
Oh.
From series 2.
Good episode.
Sycorax.
Spot on. Yeah, they're the skinless humanoids that wear mantles of bone from the Christmas invasion.
They use blood for power, don't they?
Yeah. So that's Doctor Who. Pretty good, boys. Next up, we've got Skylar. Skylar.
Breaking Bad.
S-C-Y-L-L-A. Not that Skylar. Yeah, I tried to trick you guys up. That is Breaking Bad.
I didn't know that was an option. Skylar. As in S-K-Y-L-E-R.
S-C-Y-L-L-A.
Oh, I think that's like Skylar. Skylar.
Skylar?
That's, I know that's a term that's Skylar, referred Skylar. To like spider-like things.
Is it?
Hmm. I think we might have been, I'm not going to be out Doctor Who again. That was embarrassing. So I'm going to do Godzilla.
I'm going to say Doctor Who. I feel like this is, I can't remember the name of it, but I want to say this is the David Tennant Christmas special with Donna Noble.
And wow.
That crazy spider thing.
No.
No, no, that's no, the, that's a Sycorax, spider, I think, actually. I think it's a callback to the...
Oh.
Ooh, I don't
we'll
know.
We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe.
Or no, she says the word Sycorax.
Oh.
I just remember the way she said it, like, Sycorax.
Yeah, I can remember her saying that. You're right.
Great, great monster. Yeah.
I'm going to go Godzilla on this one.
It is Godzilla. The final draft boys are right.
Yes.
Skylar or Scylla. We haven't actually watched the movie yet, but it's a giant squid-like creature with spider legs that appears in legs. Godzilla, King of the Monsters, one of the newer MonsterVerse movies.
Oh, cheating me out using MonsterVerse there. I know nothing about MonsterVerse.
Okay, we have two more. Spiridon. Spiridon. S-P-I-R-I-D-O-N. Spiridon.
This feels like a trick one. It does. It is a double bluff.
It's so clearly a dinosaur name.
Yeah.
I'll go Doctor Who. I think that this is a random fish that just shows up in a Doctor Who episode. Can we phone a friend?
A random fish? Yeah, you can phone a friend.
Don't know. I'd probably call you, Adam.
You can't phone me. Yeah, you can't phone me, mate. I was going to say. how did you pronounce it again?
Spiridon. It could be Spiridon. Spiridon.
Again, I don't recognize it in Doctor Who lore. Maybe it's like a really early one. I'm not sure. Spiridon.
I'll go Godzilla. I feel like you're like double bluffing. I feel like, because it sounds like a dinosaur type name, which makes it too obvious. So, but I think you're thinking that. So I'm going to go.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're trying to do a double bluff.
Yeah. I actually think this is one from like one of the animated shows or something.
From Godzilla?
Yeah.
Okay. Not animated Doctor Who, not Dreamland.
Could do.
Okay.
Could be.
It's got to be Godzilla, I'm afraid. I'm doubling down.
Guys, I wish I was smart enough to double down. This is from Doctor Who. The Spiridon were pale,
I've lost it all.
Gaunt humans capable of invisibility that appear in a third Doctor adventure called Planet of the Daleks.
Yeah, like, no chance.
Do they really appear, though? Invisible.
Hey,
yeah, invisible. Hey, he's asking the right questions. That's,
that could be referenced. Completely wrong there. Okay, we got the final one.
It's not even a dinosaur. It's, okay.
It all comes down to this: the final one, Mayfly.
Well, there was a species of bee on a Donna Noble episode that might be referring to.
Oh, that's the Agatha Christie one, right? Was it?
Yep.
Hey.
That could be something that's referred to Mayfly. It could also be like a corporation from Doctor Who, but obviously we're talking about monsters and creatures. Mayfly.
We're all such nerds, aren't we?
We're
just the worst.
I've just realized what we're doing right now. This is...
Yeah.
No, this is all useful knowledge. Like, everyone just said, like, what are you wasting your time watching Doctor Who for? This is my hour.
Doctor Who and Godzilla, it was all worth it. Yep.
It's my time. Well, let me think. Gosh, I'm worried it's going to be one of those episodes, though, where it's like old Who. And Skylar.
I will say, you two are currently tied first place, so if you want to have any chance of beating the other, you're going to have to go different answers.
Hey.
I feel like it's like a trick one, but I don't know if you've left like the nastiest one till last, but I do want to say Godzilla.
Yeah, I'll go Doctor Who. I feel like Doctor Who.
Oh my God.
For my reputation, I want to say that this is one of the ones from... the animated Godzilla series.
Godzilla. All right, it comes down to this, everyone. The Mayfly is from Doctor Who. Oh. Alex has taken out the championship. This is one of the adjacent ones. The Mayfly is a large spindly mayfly that appears in a Torchwood episode called Reset. There you go.
There you go.
I am I am fuming. And you know what? It's not even because I got it wrong. It's because even if I would have guessed Doctor Who, it still would have been wrong. So I couldn't have... There was no way I could have won that one.
True.
Because it's tortured, and I know tortured, and I just... Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, that's mean.
Hey. There we go. Godzilla or Doctor Who. Until the next installment. That was fun, guys. Alex is our reigning champion. Micah doesn't know anything about Godzilla.
Yeah, after tearing my Godzilla badge.
Famed Godzilla animated series monster Mayfly.
Alex, can you take over as co-host of the show?
We could do that.
We'll do host swap.
Yeah.
We could do.
Swap hosts. Every year we come back and do one of these, and this determines who's on which podcast for the year.
I think it's his own show, isn't it? It's insane.
Hey, spit off.
Let us know. Let us know.
Let us know. A podcast that's not for like Doctor Who lovers or Godzilla lovers. It's just for both. They have to be like both intrinsically conjoined.
You can still guess, can't you?
Yeah.
You can still guess. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah. No, I'm impressed. That was very impressive. That was very impressive. Should we talk about the humans a bit more in this movie? I don't know if there is a whole lot to talk about, to be honest. Anyone have like a favorite standout member of the cast?
No.
That's so funny. No.
I think generally, do I? No. Not even one.
Like, it was good to see our boy from Mothra back again, but even then I feel like the most he did was just grab onto a child to try and cover him from some rubble, but none of it ended up hitting them anyway.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, I mean, there was no one really stand out for me either. I did like seeing the Shobijin again, but they didn't, like, the classic Shobijin are supposed to look similar, right? They're supposed to be twins, and they were so different in height in this. I was like, oh, come on.
Really brought you out of it?
Yeah, brought me out of it. The Shobijin need to be the same size.
Oh, come on. What is this?
Shobijin are good. Their theme song, A+.
Yeah, it was good this time, right?
Yeah.
Thoughts on the young boy, Adam? Shun?
Boring.
Boring. Not as good as Sarah in the last movie.
Well, she was also boring. But, like, he had, like, no... He had no personality at all. He was just kind of like, he just had lines to say.
He was good at moving chairs and desks.
Well, maybe the actor was good, but the way that they did it in the dub was so terrible.
Yeah, there you are, right.
He had like no emotional delivery at all. And I think that has actually, in all fairness, got a huge part on our opinion of those characters, because I feel kind of bad for like shitting on child actors, because that is arguably harder.
I feel like a lot of the lines don't really land very well in this dub particularly. Like,
no.
What's like the quote they keep saying, like, life has to be lived the way it allows or something? It's like some really weird...
That's the one. That's the one.
They like keep repeating that, like the whole like return to bones thing is like, I don't know, there's a lot of very weird little lines that probably sound a lot better in Japanese.
Humans should not be touching the bones of the dead, the souls of the dead.
Yeah.
It's repeated heaps of times. It's like, oh yeah, cool line.
Yeah. I'll jump on a quick trivia fact about that one then. Before I had an English dub, there were a lot of, like, a good bunch of, like, I want to say secondhand or, like, just random dubs that, fan dubs, that people out there on the internet made. I'm not too sure if that's what we watched. I don't think so.
Maybe we should redub it.
Can we please? We'll grab you guys in. Who of you wants to voice the little kid?
Adam. I reckon Adam could do a good job. Redeem him.
Go on then. I'll do... It's got to be better than the delivery of the dub, hasn't it?
Anything.
But there was... In one of them, it was like infamous for having a really mistranslated line. That turtle, Camoebus, that we saw washed up on the beach, I believe in one of the famous dubs, they mentioned that it died because it had its cervix ripped out.
That sounds good to me. Where's the...
Okay.
That sounds fine. What are you talking about? Where's the cervix?
Part of the female reproduction system.
Oh! Nurse Micah coming in with the biology facts. Yeah, that's... You could die from that.
You could die. It's just very weird that that's what it ended up being in the dub. Godzilla going straight for the cervix.
Going off Kamibus though, so this would have been quite jarring for you guys, right? Just seeing a random huge turtle on the beach.
I assumed it was like going to be a little reference to something else.
Yeah, it's interesting because Kamibus is from a movie, called Space Amoeba, back in like, I want to say the 50s or 60s. But it was a real standalone movie. It didn't have any, like, up until now, up until this movie, it hadn't had any connections to other Godzilla movies. But in the making of this movie, they wanted to have some sort of random monster wash up on the shore. There was originally supposed to be like a Liopleurodon dinosaur wash up. They decided against having a new creature just because it would be too jarring. They thought about having Anguirus, our favorite spiky back boy, wash up.
Didn't he get his jaw like ripped open in a previous Godzilla movie?
Yeah, we've seen Anguirus before.
Yeah. And then they were going to try kill him in this one.
It's just not on really, is it?
Animals.
Can't catch break.
No.
There is there's another famous Japan company who does another sort of like famous kaiju run of movies called Gamera, if you guys have heard of him.
Yeah, so that's what I thought it was meant to be a reference to. I thought it was maybe a cheeky Gamera reference.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a cheeky little thing. They're like, hey, we can't use this one from another company, but let's use this other giant turtle kaiju that we have.
Sure. From one of our forgettable movies. Yeah, that's funny, yes.
That's good stuff.
That's cool.
For the first time ever, we actually do have a male Mothra in this movie.
Whoa! Adam was right all along?
Yeah.
What?
Saw it coming.
Well,
what the heck?
Well.
Who's the Godzilla expert now?
Clearly not the .2 one anymore, so I've got to change fields, haven't I?
So the two Mothra larvae that we see in this film, it's never explicitly stated, but one of them is a female and one of them is actually a male. We see one have darker skin and like more pronounced tusks on its face, tail spikes.
Because we've had Mothra Leo before, which was a guy, was male.
Yeah, but it's like a separate
continuity.
Okay. Separate thing. It's not a mainline.
Not Mothra.
Mothra Leo.
Yeah. But especially because they weren't named at all during the movie, in production they had specific names they would refer to each of these Mothra by. The male Mothra was nicknamed Taro, and the female was nicknamed Hanako. I want to say Taro is like another veggie.
Taro? Yeah, isn't it like a potato-like vegetable? Yeah.
I just love the fact that one of these is named like a potato. It's good stuff. In other promotional material for the film, they're nicknamed Mosu and Lara. But yeah, we have some named Mothra in here.
Hey, interesting.
And one of them is actually a male, which is very fun. Did either of you two see the post credits for this movie?
Nope.
No, we didn't know that there was any.
Why are you even on the podcast?
I don't know. It's just a half-assed effort, isn't it? Poor form. They did it before Marvel was cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that existed before Iron Man. I'm sorry.
Iron Man was the first. To set the scene for you, it's very, very brief, but we come up on a shot of like a secret facility where there's a little tank and it says Godzilla DNA on it.
That's useful.
It zooms out and we can't see it in the English dub, but there's also a label for another like chamber above it that says, what was it?
Kamibus DNA?
Kamibus DNA.
The turtle, yeah.
Yeah, the turtle we saw. And no one quite knows what it was supposed to be a reference to. It was just setting it up for another film if there was to be one in the continuity. But we did some digging.
Oh.
And there is a proper concept art book for this movie. And in it, there was art done not of an idea for a sequel, but more of a what-if scenario. If they did happen to make another film in this
continuity. Doing Marvel before Marvel, eh?
Doing Marvel before Marvel. And obviously, Kamibus is part of a past Toho movie. We also have a few other references to past Toho movies. We saw Mothra and that Bigfoot Gyra in the first movie.
Yeah.
In a book released around the same time as this film, it's also referenced that this movie takes place in the continuity as other movies like Rodan. Obviously, Meganulon are a part of that. It's a reference to Varan, Mogira from The Mysterians is canonically confirmed to take place in this timeline.
This movie connects to The Mysterians.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
Dagora. We have King Kong. We have... Wow, what was the space one called?
We've watched a lot of space ones. Battle in Outer Space.
About the moon.
Oh, Gorath?
Gorath. Gorath is technically canon, even though in Maguma? That movie, the moon is like destroyed. Maguma is a part of it. So it's set up that there are all these monsters in this timeline. And we don't see any other names in that DNA facility, but apparently they made a set and there were a good few names of all these different monsters on them. And there was a what-if scenario where if they did do a next Mecha movie, it would be about creating a counterpart for all of these different monsters across Toho's past. So we would have Mecha Rodan, we would have Mecha Kamibus, we would have Mecha Baragon.
Wow.
Mecha Varan, all these different monsters.
Mecha Mogira?
Hey. Mecha Godzilla.
Hey, no, that's ridiculous. Calm down. Don't be silly.
It would be like a Mecha takeover storyline. And even though it never came to fruition, I feel like this would be so cool to have as like a little mini series or an animated movie or something.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Like such a cool idea to have.
That's kind of what they do with What If, isn't it?
Exactly.
Where they just couldn't put the budget behind it in live action. So yeah, that would have been really great. Or a comic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not quite sure on if they're...
There's heaps of Godzilla comics. That'd be a cool story.
Godzilla comics, yeah.
They're doing a pirate Godzilla one at the moment.
Oh, nice.
Mm. Godzilla back in the Caribbean times.
Yeah.
Caribbean times.
The Caribbean times. Caribbean doesn't exist anymore.
Instead of nuclear bombs, did they just like drop too many like crates of beer in the ocean?
Yeah. Yeah, put too many
cannons firing into
the... That's how the Caribbean came about. That's me. There's a lot of cool trivia behind this movie. A lot of cameos too. Have a look up with some of the cameos if you've got some time.
Yeah, a lot of returning Godzilla actors and actresses in this one, which they were all really cool to see. But yeah, should we say some final thoughts and a rating? Do you want to start us off, Adam?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a midfield film for me, as you can probably guess. I mean, my notes in summary, it was so nice to actually like see like a good live action Mothra. I just feel like all of the kind of like the human aspect to this was a huge letdown in comparison to the last. It's not terrible by any stretch. Like I really enjoyed all the action scenes and a lot of the things that I liked about the last one passed over, about the details of the practicals and the miniature sets and all this kind of stuff, like blending together was really good. But the human side of it is just not really that well fleshed out, in my opinion. And it just left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth. But luckily, the things that were interesting to me were the new additions. You know, like the whole storyline with Mothra was really interesting. I think it might have been like a really... I mean, I haven't had any other rendition of these characters on screen yet that I've seen. But it seems like it was one that was done with a lot of love and detail. And yeah, the sets and action were fantastic. And like the action plot really like reflected those elements.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, just the stuff that really kind of makes it well-rounded, fell flat. So it's kind of like a, 3 lavas out of 5 for me.
3 lavas out of 5?
Maybe 2.5 lavas.
2.5?
Obviously there were 2 in the film.
2 in the film and half of Mothra's dead body.
I kind of want to give it 2 lavas to be accurate, but, there were stuff in there that I did like, and the third act kind of helped redeem it, other than the eject shot out of the jet.
Yeah.
Which I just went, I'm done now.
We didn't talk about it, but Mechagodzilla talks, right? We see on the screen it says, sayonara Yoshito, as Yoshito.
Yeah.
So this is like the soul of the original destructive Godzilla using technology to communicate with.
He's an AI now.
Godzilla's an AI.
Wild to see.
Crazy.
It's upside down as well, so like you can't really read it.
It's a struggle.
Did you say 2, Adam?
Yeah, let's go with 2 lavas out of 5.
2 lavas out of 5. What do you think, Alex?
I didn't like it very much, to be honest.
Yeah.
I know it's cool. It's cool to visit like a new element of all this Godzilla stuff with the Mothra. shenanigans, which was like a nice pleasure, nice little treat. But I know it didn't work for me. The human characters were like really, really bad in this one.
Yeah, and, horrible.
The fight scenes didn't feel as kind of kinetic and stuff as they did in the last one. And there's not enough Mecha Godzilla in it. There's not enough.
No.
There's just not enough. It just kind of gets pushed to the very end. And I don't know, if you've come from the last film, it does kind of wrap up that story, I suppose. But it doesn't feel like a really satisfying conclusion. So yeah, I'm feeling like 1.5. 1.5 little croissant babies. Yeah.
Croissant babies. Yeah, I just watching them back to back probably didn't do this one any favors because it just felt like such a rehash and it just felt so bland coming off the back of the other one. It was the exact same tone as against Mechagodzilla, exact same story beats. It just didn't feel as fresh. I did love the visuals though. I thought the visuals across the board were great. Even the silly stuff at the end with Kiryu wrapped around a silk-covered Godzilla, like going down into the depths of a trench together. There was a cool shot at the end with, was it the sun reflecting against the ocean and both the Shobujin, the little fairies, like going back to their home on top of the larvae. There was some cool visuals, lame humans. It isn't as great as Mechagodzilla. It isn't as great as Megaguirus. It's pretty weak compared to the others. But I had a good time. I like to see Mothra again. I'll probably give it 3 lava out of 5.
3 lava.
Out 3 of out of 5. 5. Imagine there was a third lava.
No, yeah. I think we're pretty unanimous that the human side of stuff is dumb. Which is sad because like we have like a pre-existing character in Akane who does show up in this film.
Why?
This movie will just be instantly so much better if she just returned for it and took the place of the mechanic.
Yeah.
You do have some really cool stuff that he does, like going out into the field and repairing Mecha G in the nick of time. But even then, like, Akane could have done that and it would have been so much better for it. That being said, I think the monster stuff in this is great. Like, all the demerits that we have of the Mothra stuff is mainly because of the lore around it. Like, they're saying that Mothra is going to destroy Earth or destroy everybody if they don't go through with getting rid of the bones. The Shobujin don't actually do much. It's good to see them. But the actual monsters themselves are just fantastic. I think that it's, you know, we're held off on Mechagodzilla for a long time, but when he comes in, it's guns blazing. It's so cool to see him. So cool to see Mothra. I've got a few other just random thoughts here. We start off this movie with like a real cool jet fight as like the cold open for this one.
Yeah, as I see Mothra flying by.
Yeah, this is what I imagined the 2014 Godzilla to open up like.
Okay.
That's what I think that movie's going to be. I'm still really confused about the kid moving the desks. At some point in the movie, the Shobujin say that whenever the symbol appears, Mothra symbol, Mothra will appear immediately. And somehow that kid just knows it and moves like 60 desks. And I really want to do like a Mythbusters style episode on this and just have 60 desks at the ready and see how long it would take me to move them all. Like, well, what did this kid think it was going to do?
Hey, we don't know. Doing that many desks making up a Mothra symbol, that could actually summon Mothra. Has anyone ever done it? We need to myth bust that.
Yeah.
Maybe he's always watching.
Maybe.
There's a few epic scenes where, like, the Shobujin sing their song, and then right as it finishes, Mothra uses her scale dust on Godzilla, and he tries to use his breath, and it just explodes in a huge fiery blast. Props to Mecha G, all those scenes where he's just jettisoning his arm cannons into Godzilla and then exploding them right when he's holding onto them. The Mothra larva's eyes going red.
Yeah.
Even Mecha G losing his eye. Like, there's a lot of really cool moments in visuals. This movie. And especially, I think my big takeaway is after seeing Mothra in this, I'm real worried at what she's going to be like in the MonsterVerse movie when we cover it.
True.
But I am hopeful. And I don't know. I would love to see this movie try and be remade because I think you could do some really interesting stuff with Mechagodzilla, and even Mothra in the same movie. Mm. But I just feel kind of let down with this because there's so many good elements, but it just feels like they're all assembled in the wrong way. I'm gonna give this. I'll give it 2.5 Mothra Lava. Like good stuff, but it's kind of just brought down to blandness by how poorly it's executed in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Really interesting what you said last episode as well, that the director was given a few options for a sequel, then he went away and wrote this.
Like on paper. Makes you wonder what those other options were.
Yeah.
Like on paper.
Wonder if we'll ever know.
It sounds like an all right story.
Yeah.
But it's just done really badly.
It seems that everyone that's involved more than one kaiju, more than two, and kind of like added a third for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
That seems to be what really affects like the important aspects of the story, because it ultimately takes away the screen time from
the humans, really.
Those that you want to kind of have the, precisely.
Yeah.
And I think that the human aspect of it is really neglected. But what worked with the last film was that they were the core focus.
Mm.
Mechagodzilla and Godzilla were the cause, and the actual story was within the humans and how they dealt with it.
Yeah.
Which is like far more interesting than the action scenes, because if it's all that, then it's just kind of like a video game, really, where you're just like watching two monsters go at each other. And
yeah, that's spot on.
You know, but yeah, I haven't actually thought about that until this point. But yeah, a monster just takes time, like screen time, away from characters.
Yeah, I feel like this almost forgot about Godzilla a bit too. Like he was always just there, but he didn't have really any character or any like memorable stuff going on.
And especially the fact that he gets bodied so hard by those two lava.
Yeah, he gets destroyed by the Mothra lava. Him tied up, he's just standing there.
Him and Mechagodzilla are just done quite dirty.
I think he's so confused to what's going on. He's like, what's happening? How have I lost this?
Yeah.
This is mental.
Well, I've got a few reviews from the last two movies from some of our listeners. I thought I'd just read out a couple of them.
Nice.
We had an email here from Zach, and Zach says, "Hey, Podzilla, I'm a lifelong Godzilla fan who's really enjoyed hearing your fresh takes on these amazing films. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on Godzilla X Mechagodzilla. I think it's one of the most heartfelt, character-driven films of the franchise. It does a nice job of telling a familiar story exceptionally well with a fresh twist. Its characters are fun yet nuanced, and Akane is one of the series' best protagonists. The special effects look great with some improved CG, and the score is absolutely brilliant. I give Godzilla X Mechagodzilla 9 out of 10 Kuryus. Can't wait to hear more from you. Thanks."
Echoing Adam's thoughts there with the 9 out of 10.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla was really good.
The people know.
I also have another review for Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla here. It's Liam at No Dove in the Discord. And Liam says, "Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla is the greatest Mechagodzilla film we've seen since the original. At times it feels like it's ripping off versus Megaguirus a little too much, but the design of both monsters is amazing. We get some incredible fights, and the main characters are all lovable. 4.5 out of 5.
Solid.
Yeah. And I'll just go into a couple here from this movie, Godzilla Tokyo SOS. David says, "The monster action is stronger, but the characters and plot are probably a bit weaker than the last film, so it's a trade-off. It's a decent movie and an excellent drawn-out monster battle, but the repeat use of the same monsters over and over again led to a feeling of staleness in the Millennium series and ultimately hurt the series. Again, not a bad movie at all, but at the time Toho would have probably been better off using any number of other ideas. Fans back then really wanted Anguirus, and Toho had even turned down the chance to make Godzilla vs. Gamera film at this time, and they sadly paid for it at the box office."
Brutal.
And then lastly, we got one here from G. Kira. G. Kira says, "For the first and only time in the Millennium series, Tokyo SOS is a direct sequel to the previous film. Both Godzilla and Kuryu return, bearing the scars of their previous battle, but just as important is Mothra appearing once again, fuzzier than ever. The Shobujin also make their triumphant return, and tying the film to not just the previous film, but also making it a sequel to the original Mothra film was a stroke of genius. Hiroshi Koizumi, a Godzilla veteran, reprises his role, and it's nice to see such a tie-in with the Showa era. Godzilla's fight with Mothra bears clear resemblance to their fight back in the 1964 film. She has her poison powder attack and even spawns two lava, just like before.
Kuryu's fight is a little redundant, but they manage to put enough cool attacks in to keep you entertained. The film even manages to have a poignant ending, with both Kuryu and Godzilla being returned to the Japan Trench, with a message of life being sacred and the souls of the dead that shouldn't really be utilized for military purposes. I think this film surpasses its predecessor. It's just as fun as exciting as the first one, but also has Mothra. I give it 4 Mothra tokens out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah, that was from G. Kira.
What was that last line? Next for the Millennium series. Yeah. Will you take the blue pill or the red pill?
He's also hinting the next something about the next movie. Will we take the blue pill or the red pill?
Oh.
I think there's a lot of Matrix crossover with the movie we'll be watching after this. I might as well just say now, the next movie we're covering on Podzilla is Godzilla Final Wars. And the synopsis for the next movie, Final Wars, goes, humanity finally rids themselves of Godzilla, imprisoning him in an icy tomb in the South Pole. All is peaceful until various monsters emerge to lay waste to Earth's cities. Overwhelmed, humanity is seemingly saved by a race of benevolent aliens known as Exilians, but not all is what it seems with these bizarre visitors. If humanity wishes to survive, they must reluctantly resurrect their most hated enemy, Godzilla.
Sounds wild.
See, that sounds like such a better idea for a sequel, doesn't it? That's wicked.
Yeah. So that's next week on Podzilla to cap off the Millennium Era.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Zillions again.
The Exilions?
This is also crazy because I don't know if you guys heard of Shin Godzilla? Yeah. It was made in like 2016? But prior to that movie and the MonsterVerse movie, Final Wars is the last one. They made no movies for a decade featuring Godzilla after this. So this is like a big, big send-off.
Yeah. So be sure to watch Godzilla Final Wars ahead of the next episode. Write in your thoughts on it to us, podzillapod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear them. Tell us who your favorite monster is, because I think there's heaps and heaps. But guys, once again, Adam and Alex, this has just been an absolute blast. It's a highlight of our year, or highlight of the podcast whenever we come back and record with you guys. So yeah, it's just an absolute joy. Thank you for coming on the show.
Aww. It's always a pleasure. We love this podcast, we love its listeners, and we love getting to talk about these crazy kaiju movies. Yeah, hopefully we'll be back soon, although it sounds like it's gonna be a while.
We'll see. We'll always make time for our resident mixperts.
Mixperts. Yeah, there might not be much Mechagodzilla left, but there's a lot of giant robots, so I'm sure we could find something.
I'll settle for that.
Yeah,
sort of a find something. Stuff.
But where can people hear more of you guys? I guess you shouted out your podcast, The Final Draft, last episode. Do you have any like standout episodes people should track down?
Ooh.
The Mark Jenkin interview was a good one.
Oh, you did an interview with Mark Jenkin.
That was a real pleasure for us.
That's right.
That's great. That's a great one. That's an all-timer.
Yeah. Top 5. We don't have a Watch Mojo top 5 or anything, but that would be on there.
If you aren't familiar with us for whatever reason,
come on.
Come on, guys. If you're not familiar,
what are you doing?
We've done some
fun episodes with your boys over here at Podzilla. We've got a great Halloween double feature we did a few years ago now.
That's right.
And what was it? Blair Witch and Nightmare on Elm Street.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So yeah, listen to that one, see if you like it, especially if you're into spooky mood for December. Nothing like it.
No better time
at all. And yeah, keep an eye out on the Final Draft feed, because I've heard whispers that there might be something dropping sometime soon.
Ooh.
Keep an eye out. Anyway, I think that's us for the show. Yeah, we'll be back next week with Godzilla Final Wars. But I mean, everyone's been waiting for it. I think we're ready, right? Adam and Alex's rendition of the Mothra theme song.
I'm going for a tunnel. The internet's
gone. You guys are breaking out. I've lost video. Audio's going. We'll have to wait till next time. Next time.
Thanks for listening to Podzilla. Join our Discord server, tag us on Letterboxd, and follow us on our socials at PodzillaPod. The links are all in our show notes. If you're looking to help support the show and fund more adventures on Monster Island, check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/podzilla to get access to extended cuts of every episode and the occasional bonus ep. Big shout out to Cassie Celine for our seasonal podcast art. And a quick disclaimer that all music and additional audio used in this episode belong entirely to the Toho Company.
Ooh.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, yeah, I should have prepared, guys.